Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mr. President, you're driving us crazy. You're winning too much.
I'm a man. I am an anchor man. I'm a man who discovered the wheel and built the Eiffel Tower out of metal and bronze. That's what kind of man I am.
Government is not the solution to our problems. Government is the problem.
I got into broadcasting because I like to give. Sometimes I found myself hurting from giving too much.
Now, Mark Reardon.
Mark Reardon, ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together and give a warm welcome to this guy.
On KMOX.
It's go time. It's go time time. It's go, no go, lock and load, love him and leave him, smoke him if you got him, see him when I see it, because it's time for Mark Reardon time.
Back up, you creep. Get away from me.
Stupid question.
Above all, I am sorry for the pain that this process and my actions have caused my family, my friends, and the people of Missouri.
Governor Greitens yesterday, wow. I will tell you candidly, I did not see that one coming, and we're going to discuss it this afternoon. We have a lot to get to. Kevin Killeen with some new developments this afternoon. Ed Dowd, one of the attorneys for the governor, is going to be with me this afternoon as well in the next segment. I have, as you might imagine, a lot to say about this, a lot to say about Kim Gardner. Somebody texted me this, someone in law enforcement, actually, so I can't identify him for fear of retribution. But this person said maybe the, and I noticed that it wasn't this, but maybe the St. Louis Post-Dispatch headline this morning should have been incompetent prosecutor to call on competent prosecutor to waste more city money. Ed Dowd issued this statement. Today, we'll be filing a police report with the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department regarding the perjury committed by the lead investigator for the circuit attorney's office in the case against Governor Greitens. Now, this whole thing is a mess. It's been a mess from the beginning. I just want to clarify again, and I did this on Twitter last night. I am commenting specifically on this criminal case that was prosecuted in a reckless fashion by Kim Gardner and the people in her office. I'm not talking about the behavior of the governor. We can get to that later, and I have things to say about this. I also want to talk about the media, because the media in this particular instance has led the mob. They have not reported this as a news story. I pointed this out when the indictment came down originally, and my question at the time was, who do you think was more satisfied sexually? I'll just put it that way. The collective media in the state of Missouri, or in particular at the Post-Dispatch and other outlets, I guess, or, you know, the governor in his basement. That was a legitimate question, I think. Now, boy, that was a rough day for the cheerleaders yesterday. A rough day for my friend Jane Duker. A sad day for, you know, I guess, Tony Messenger. I text Scott Faughn. I was worried about him. I said, I'm sorry for your loss. And he said, he actually responded. He said, my loss? I said, well, yeah, you should have spent that $50,000, $100,000, $120,000, I don't even know what the number is anymore, maybe as a donation to a better circuit attorney candidate here in St. Louis. That might have helped. But we'll get to all of that and some phone calls this afternoon. First, let me welcome in. He's become a regular staple of the show, and we're going to go with our, yeah, we got to go with this here. This is our new theme. We just came up with this yesterday, but now we're going to use it a lot. Kevin Killeen, how are you?
Very good. I'm glad it's over. I had a good night's sleep, and I imagine everybody else did too.
Man, you called the newsroom at 4:41. This thing gets decided at 4:40. We had it on the air right away, so thank you for that yesterday, before it was even on social media. But what have you learned since then, before I get into some of my fist-pounding this afternoon and my opinions on this?
All right, well, I've been talking to Kim Gardner's office and got some questions, answers, and others not answered. They are not saying what the legal bill is to taxpayers for all this. We still don't know the cost. They'd say we're working on that. They still plan to seek a grand jury to issue a formal indictment on the second case, the computer tampering. And Kim Gardner's office is still planning to seek a special prosecutor to redo the first case, but there's no timetable.
Did you ask a question? One question that came up on the statute of limitations, would that be affected if they would appoint a special prosecutor, or would the charge stand? That I think that's confusing. The reason that she filed this so quickly in January is because the statute of limitations was running out.
Because you can't say, well, this is an ongoing thing, because the cause number is over for that first trial. And you'd have to have a new cause number, a new case, so they might run into that issue, statute of limitations.
Yeah, that's a good follow-up there, and I have some good stuff on how much this costs, but the Board of Aldermen are hoping that she'll come before them and answer those questions.
Yeah. Then there's the issue of sanctions. You know, the judge said the issue of sanctions will survive this trial. We still don't know when or who might go after Kim Gardner. We're hearing the Bar Association already has one complaint against her in connection with all this. You're going to report later that Ed Dowd has asked city police to take a look. So sanctions are alive and well.
Are you kind of bummed out that you're not in this trial right now?
No, I'm happy the way it ended. I mean, we went from February 22nd to yesterday. So it was a big, dramatic ending. And a lot of characters from the governor to the prosecutor to the judge. And it was interesting to see all their face, the relief on Eric Greitens' face. He was triumphant, but he still looked worn out when he came down those steps and said, I'm cleared of the false charge.
Kevin, thank you for becoming such an integral part of the Mark Reardon Show.
I love the coffee here.
Checks in the mail. Thank you.
Thank you.
Kevin Killeen with us this afternoon. So I'm wondering if the folks at the Post-Dispatch will actually start asking some questions about Kim Gardner's office. Look, she's blown two high-profile cases so far. They should never have been brought for prosecution. The Stockley case, that was never going to be a win there. And in this particular instance, how can you go? This is maybe law school 101. I'd love to go over across the street to SLU and say, hey, when you teach people about the law, do you think it's a good idea that a prosecutor brings charges, a felony charge, when she does not have the key piece of evidence, never had it, finally had to admit that she didn't have it? You also have all this money that's being spent on this Tisby guy who perjured himself. And there's so many things here that have happened outside of just taking a case to trial with no evidence. Now, a flagrant act of journalism by Elliot Davis over at Fox 2. He does this quite often, quite well, asking the questions about how much money's been spent. Here's his story. Listen to this.
Board President Lewis Reed says the circuit attorney, Kim Gardner, asked for more money to deal with crime. So Alderman gave her office $390,000 last July. $145,000 of it was to help crime victims and provide money for witness protection.
So she gets this money. That's a fair amount of money, right? $350,000. They allocate that for crime here in the city of St. Louis because we have so much crime. I don't know if you've noticed that. We got people being murdered every day.
There was also money to turn people away from crime who were on the wrong road and money for community engagement.
Did the circuit attorney's office tell you they didn't have the money to do all these things?
Circuit attorney said that they did not have the funding in place to be able to properly carry out the victim services unit, create the victim services unit, have it fully funded, the witness protection program, the community outreach specialist, none of those things.
That's Lewis Reed, the board president. So Tom Oldenburg was interviewed by Elliot Davis. This is what I love about the 28 members of the Board of Aldermen. Never heard of this guy. Dave, have you ever heard of Tom Oldenburg? Board of Aldermen member? No, I've never heard of him before. I have now.
Alderman Tom Oldenburg wants aldermanic hearings to get to the bottom of this.
To make sure that funds that are appropriated are in fact going to prosecuting criminals.
You think that Greitens' cases has an impact on Gardner and her handling of crime?
I do.
You think so? You think that might have something to do with it? Really?
I do. I think it has perhaps distracted the circuit attorney's office from the day-to-day, the nuts and bolts of prosecuting criminals.
I discovered one transaction Alderman may want to look into to check whether money to fight crime went to fight Greitens. The circuit attorney transferred $306,000 from an account labeled salaries to one labeled professional services. The document says the reason for the transfer included investigating violent crime, organized crime, drug dealing, and alleged wrongdoing by political figures. We could not determine if any of the $306,000 went to hire people to work on the Greitens case.
Well, I'm guessing that it did. Here's one clip, one more clip here from Elliot's story.
The public defender also joined in the list of those concerned. The head of the office, Mary Fox, filed a complaint with the court saying some defendants are sitting in jail longer because her office can't get the evidence it's entitled to in a timely manner from the circuit attorney. Information they should be getting in weeks, taking months.
So, look, if this was anybody else, if it was a Republican, everyone in the city of St. Louis, it wouldn't be a Republican. I get that. But for argument's sake here, if that was a Republican in that office, every elected Democrat would be calling for her head right now. The mayor would have led with it yesterday. But since she's a prosecutor who, I don't know. I can't even tell you why. Why wouldn't this be relevant? I had a spirited debate with my colleague and friend Charlie Brennan this morning. Absolutely it's relevant. This is why it's relevant. Because she's using resources that should be for prosecuting actual crimes that you can prove here in the city of St. Louis for a political witch hunt. Reckless, irresponsible. She should be asked to resign. She should resign. But we'll still get incompetency at this office for probably years to come. Ed Dowd, one of the lead attorneys for the governor, coming up next.
News Radio 1120 KMOX, St. Louis's news, traffic, and weather.
Hey, we're going to get into, some of this going on with the governor is going to affect the Senate race with Josh Hawley and Sarah McCaskill this year. Of course, Josh Hawley still has a primary. There is a Politico piece out this morning. One of my producers told me it's like one of the top read things on Politico right now. And I am quoted in that piece because I'm disappointed that Josh has been ignoring some people who have been very helpful to him in the past, like me. And he just seemingly isn't campaigning and he's not raising money. So then the question is, man, do we need someone else to step into this race? I'm hoping that's not the case. I have praised him as a great candidate going back a couple of years before he even thought about getting in this race. I thought he was perfect for the Senate. But I will tell you candidly, I'm concerned. And that piece has more than just me that are concerned. So you can check that out. The guy who wrote it, Alex Eisenstadt, is going to come on in the next hour. Ed Dowd is one of the lead attorneys for Governor Greitens, joins me this afternoon. Ed, welcome back. How are you?
I'm doing great, Mark. Thank you.
Some of us did not see this coming yesterday afternoon at 4:40. Were you surprised at all?
Not surprised because I knew that she did not want to testify. And the judge ordered that she testify. They appealed to the Court of Appeals. The Court of Appeals said, no, she has to testify. She made herself a witness in this case. And to think that you would dismiss a case after 3 days of picking a jury and 4 months of this ridiculous case, just it's so insane. It's hard to even imagine. We wanted a jury trial. And anyway, I'm glad it's dismissed, and I think it'll stay dismissed.
Can you explain, without going into too much detail here and losing those of us who aren't very smart, why she would have had to testify? What was the legal question and the request that you had? And I understand all this because it goes to the William Tisipi issue, but I don't want to lose our listeners. So
exactly.
Can you explain that a little?
It really just comes down to the circuit attorney went and met with witnesses by herself, and then she met with witnesses, key witnesses, with Tisipi. We caught Tisipi committing perjury, and the circuit attorney was present for those events, so she was a witness to them and should have testified in trial about it, and didn't want to do it. And Tisipi, of course, took the Fifth, saying, if I answer any questions, I'll incriminate myself. I don't want to be convicted of a crime. And he is under investigation now by the St. Louis Police Department.
Yeah, so you had a statement that came out today, and we've been reporting on this, that you have filed a report with the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department, who, by the way, refused to investigate, or did not refuse to investigate Eric Greitens, because that was a claim made by Kim Gardner's office that, in fact, wasn't true. But you've asked them to investigate Tisipi on this.
Exactly. And that you're right about that, the circuit attorney did say, I asked the St. Louis Police Department to investigate, and they wouldn't. And the chief of police, John Hayden, said, that's totally untrue. We were never asked.
So from your perspective on the possibility of a special prosecutor, are there issues at play there? If there is a special prosecutor and this gets refiled, are there issues with the statute of limitations relating to this charge?
There may be. I haven't really looked into that. I think it would be very hard to find someone who would take this case, which never had any evidence. There was never a photograph. There was never any evidence of transmission. There was never the statute does not even apply to this kind of conduct. How anyone would want to take this case and say, I want to spend a few months working on this, present it to a grand jury, go through like we did 3 days of picking a jury and then dismiss it, because really the main reason that was dismissed is because there's no evidence. We filed a motion at noon yesterday saying, judge, dismiss this case. Discovery is completely over. Let's dismiss this case. There's no evidence. And 5 hours later, they dismissed it.
Well, there's, I mean, yeah, you're speaking the truth and the obvious there. If you don't have the key piece of evidence and you really never had it from the beginning, I mean, they filed the charge, I think, hoping that they would find something, and then finally had to admit that they didn't have it. So there are all kinds of other questions that come up in relation to that. First of all, Ed, what can you tell me about the money that was dropped to Al Watkins? Is there relevant information? Because there's still some questions about that. Did it come from Scott Faun? What was it intended for? Jim Martin, one of your colleagues, was on this morning talking about that. What's your perspective on that cash drop?
That $100,000 was brought in by Scott Faun and another person at his request, two different deliveries of $50,000 in cash, secret cash payments that were, according to Al Watkins, the attorney for the witness, for Sneed, that
the ex-husband,
that money was for him,
right,
and for his legal fees, and that Sneed actually wanted to have trust funds set up for his children and for KS's, the wife's, children. So both of the witnesses had a monetary interest in this, and $100,000 came in, and then Watkins told us another $10,000 came in later. Another $10,000 came in later, once again in cash. You just don't see things like that very often. You don't see investigators taking the Fifth Amendment. It's just insane.
It is insane. So on the questions of the money, I mean, I don't know if there's any path that you would have here, but there are some of us, like me, who would like to know where that money really came from.
Yes, and I'm hoping that, you know, we ran out of time with the trial setting, but I'm really hoping that the House committee will look into that. I'm sorry about the background noise.
No,
I'm
you're
at
fine.
The police department.
Yeah, no, it doesn't. It's not loud at all. What about you guys did a deposition? It's my understanding it was rather lengthy with KS, right, in advance of the trial. Is there anything? I'm guessing that deposition cannot be released, or can it?
I don't see why it couldn't.
Okay, can you give it to me?
I'll have to check, but I don't see any reason why it couldn't be.
Okay. Is there a different narrative that emerged in that deposition compared to what was presented before the House Investigative Committee and to Kim Gardner?
Well, I think what happened at first, before the money showed up, before Kim Gardner showed up and made this woman testify against her will, you know, as you remember, she never went to the police department. KS never went to the police department and said, you know, there's been a crime committed against me. I want somebody prosecuted. That was Kim Gardner who came up with that. And what this lady was telling her friends was things like, I think Eric really likes me. She wasn't saying that there was any kind of force or coercion. That all came up after Kim Gardner got involved and they tried to manufacture a case and they just couldn't do it.
You would admit at this point, though, the governor is not out of the legal woods, wouldn't you? Because you have this Mission Continues case as well.
Yes, that's another case that we'll have to deal with. That's another one I don't understand. And great. I don't know why anybody would want to bring that case. It's a charity that the governor started, worked for a couple of years without any pay, raised millions of dollars for his fellow veterans who had served in war zones. Ran that for years out of the goodness of his heart and because he wanted to help those people, knew everybody on the list. The charity was never, ever deprived of the list of donors. There's no harm. There's no damage to anyone here. Why someone would want to make that a felony case, you'd have to ask Kim Gardner, but I anticipate the same thing will happen with that one that happened with this one.
But if the law says that you can't share those 501c3 donor lists with political campaigns, that you know, you're a lawyer, you know the law. Isn't it pretty clear that occurred here?
I actually don't really know that law, and I don't know if that occurred or not.
Okay.
We've just turned to that. But I'm looking at it as somebody who ran the Waco investigation for Senator Danforth, who was the U.S. attorney here for 6 years and an assistant U.S. attorney for years, that you look at those facts that I just ran through, that he started this charity, did so much for so many people. Why would you want to make this a felony case, even if, you know, regardless of whether he looked at that list when he was asking for people? He knew everybody on that list, or almost everybody on that list, because he had put it together. He brought all those donors in. So why do you say, you know, most prosecutors would look at that and go, yes, so what? What's the problem?
I see it that way too, Ed, but a lot of other people don't. And I know the mission continues. That's how I know Eric, because I worked with them for several years. I hosted the gala where all those donors were in the room. So I think
exactly.
Yeah. All right, Ed Dowd. Hey, thank you. I'm guessing this is not the last time we will speak on these matters, but
you're right.
But I appreciate it, Ed. Thanks a lot.
I do too, Mark. Thank you.
All right, 228 at the Voice of St. Louis.
Get ready for the Cards and Twins tonight. Ameren Total Access 6:15. First pitch 7:10. Hear it here on your Voice of the St. Louis Cardinals, KMOX.
All right, let me go to the phones here for a little bit this afternoon, 436-7900. But look, this is not over for the governor. There's still some serious questions about this case and others, and you have impeachment. We'll get to John Hancock this afternoon talking about what's next with that. But I really do, and I've said it from the beginning, there should be some serious questions about Kim Gardner's office and the way that she performed this job at the expense of other prosecutions in the city. I mean, I don't see why Tony Messenger and the editorial board at the St. Louis Post-Dispatch and the rest of the collective media in Missouri aren't worried about that. I think it's an important angle to this. But then the question is, can the governor effectively still run the state? I don't know that he can. I really, by saying that, I mean, I don't think he can. Maybe he can't. Now, the governor, I did have communication with him last night, and he has indicated that he is willing to come on the show. He said he couldn't do it today, but we're trying to get that scheduled. We have baseball tomorrow, so maybe on Thursday. And we'll keep you posted on that. 436-7900. Look, does this change anyone's mind about this case? That's my question for you. Do you think he should resign, or was it a wise course of action to say, let this play out in court? But now that it is not played out in court, I actually think that if it would have played out in court, there may have been different results from a public perception perspective. Look, I think the result would have been the same. He would have been found not guilty, and you would have found out a lot more about the particulars of the story, because I think there's angles of this story that were told in that deposition, and I hope I get a hold of that deposition. I'm going to follow up with that with Ed Dowd. 436-7900, 1-800-925-1120. John, you're on KMOX. Good afternoon.
Yes, thanks for taking my call. You know, I think it's pretty obvious. It's a sad state that we're in nowadays. This here has been a witch hunt. This is, they made a molehill into a mountain. It's obvious to almost everybody that it's all about politics, trying to get someone out of office. And they're doing the same thing that they did to Trump, President Trump, that they did to him. And I think it's a shame, but I think he's going to survive it, I hope. And the second comment I'd like to make, you brought up about the U.S. Senate race. You know, Josh, I don't know that much about him, but I know that when he ran for office for attorney general, he was criticizing the ladder climbers, and he hasn't been in office less than 2 years, and already he wants to switch.
Well, he hasn't been in office. It's only been about 1 year, a little bit more than 1 year. You're right. That's a big issue for Josh Hawley. There's no doubt about that. My answer to that question would be, look, you got to take the opportunity when you can. And I think this is an important Senate race, but we're at the point where if he's not running this campaign the way that he should, I suppose that they calculated a different way to run a campaign. They're going to micro-target these people. This is what's happening at the national level in politics as well. But you have to be able to compete and raise the money. And for those of you who think this is a slam dunk with McCaskill getting booted, it is not. I'm just telling you right now, it is not. Arlene, you're on KMOX.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hi. What I do want to say is that he was and not convicted because there was no picture. But the fact remains there still was an affair.
Right.
So that's the most important thing. He's an elected official, and his morals are out the wall.
Well, I'm not particularly fond of the fact that he did this and behaved that way either. I will say that it happened before he was governor. That may not matter to you. I will also say that, boy, you'd be hard-pressed to find a politician that didn't cheat on his or her spouse. Now, whether that's a good thing or not, it is not. But it's sadly the case, and I don't know if that disqualifies someone from being in office. It didn't disqualify John Kennedy. It didn't disqualify Bill Clinton. It has not disqualified many Democrats in the state of Missouri as well. But thank you for the call. Catherine, you're on KMOX. Hi, Catherine.
Yes, there's been a lot of interest in who's paying Sneed's legal bills, and I was just wondering who paid Governor Brighton's legal bills.
Yeah, I don't know that we know that yet. That could have been a question that I would have asked Ed Dowd. I'm willing to do that and follow up with him in the future. I suppose that's a relevant question. Why are you most interested in that?
I'm sure his legal bills were quite expensive.
Well, the taxpayers are not paying them. The taxpayers are paying for Kim Gardner's office. Just keep that in mind. I think that that's important. So, wasn't my money, wasn't my earnings tax that paid for his legal bills. It was those of you, you know, well, it wasn't those of you. It was private donations. But Kim Gardner's tab is paid for by us. Tim, you're on KMOX.
Yes, thanks. Governor Greitens needs to stick tight, hold fast, do his job as governor as best as he can, and continue on. And, you know, he'll have his day in court.
Well, I don't know anymore that he will have his day in court. You mean about the Mission Continue stuff and anything else that might come down the line?
Yes, if that continues.
Okay, but can you effectively govern, lead the state, do the job that the people of Missouri overwhelmingly elected you to do with all these distractions?
Well, I don't know. I voted for him, and I expect him to do his job as long as he's in office.
Okay, thanks, Tim. I appreciate it. 436-7900. Cindy, you're on KMOX.
Hi, Mark. I heard on the newscast earlier that Kim Gardner's going to have to go up with the Ultramatic Ways and Means or the financial...
Yeah, she's going to be called to go before the Board of Aldermen to account for this money, to answer some of these questions, which she's been unwilling to do. Look, we've asked her to appear on this show many times, and she has refused. There's all these questions about accountability and transparency, none of which apparently get pointed toward Kim Gardner until now. I've been asking these for months.
Now, can anybody like recommend that she be disbarred? I mean, I think what she's done and how she's underhandedly done a lot of things, if you're comparing what, you know, I voted for our
government. See, here's what you have to remember. She is a Democrat in the city of St. Louis. She has immunity from these things. She has immunity. Because no one's going to go out a limb and ask for her resignation. Maybe there might be one of those members of the Board of Aldermen that'll say, hey, there's something wrong here. I'm hopeful that some of them will raise some serious questions and be a little angry about this. Got to take a break. Hang on the line if you're there. 436-7900, 1-800-925-1120. John Hancock, after the top of the hour, his thoughts on this. More of your calls coming up next.
It's Mark Reardon now. Total Information PM starts at 4 with news, weather, traffic, and information you need on KMOX.
Wonder how many cops could have been hired in the city of St. Louis with all the money that Kim Gardner wasted on the Stockley case and on this case. The hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars. Not to mention the cases that should have been prosecuted with more vigor that weren't because of her prosecutorial misconduct, malfeasance, reckless behavior. And it's just an embarrassment, really. Most of the things that happen in the city of St. Louis are an embarrassment, it seems, especially with elected officials. Back to the phones we go, 436-7900. Ellen, welcome to the show. Ellen, are you there? I do not hear Ellen. I'll put her back on hold. Dave, not sure what's going on there. How about Victor?
I found Governor Greitens' apology laughable. He apologized to everybody except the woman involved, and she was really just an innocent bystander. I mean, it just goes to show the ego this guy has. Thought of no one really except himself.
What would the, you know, just asking here, what would the apology be to the woman involved?
Well, she was dragged through this thing just like everybody else was. And
that was her ex-husband's fault.
Yeah, but that, I mean, so, but he got, it was Greitens that initiated this whole thing because of his relationship with her. And if that thing had never happened, she would never have been involved in this.
Okay. Fair enough, Victor. I appreciate it. I just think that, and this is where I veer into the risky territory of victim shaming, but it's just me. If I was a woman Well, let's put it this way. I'm not a woman. I'm not transitioning. If I stick my hand up the skirt of my hairdresser and invite her to my home as a married man, I'm guessing she doesn't think there's coffee involved. Now, maybe she doesn't think she's going to be tied to a piece of gym equipment either. Fair enough. But then there's all kinds of questions. That's why I was so hoping that there would be cross-examination. And if Ed Dowd, Fred Bottomer's in the other room right now. Fred, did you hear Ed Dowd on that?
How about old Fred Bottomer over there, ladies and gentlemen?
He said he would be perhaps willing to give me the depositions. Can you follow up with him on that? I think that's important. Dawn, you're on KMOX.
Hi. I agree with so much that you're saying. Good to talk to you. I read The Heart and Fist, and it changed my life, and it was going to be required reading for my kid. Big fan of Eric Greitens, voted for him. But I never thought there was a crime. I never bought into it. I hope Kim Gardner is investigated to the fullest degree, but I just really don't know where he goes from here, because he was going to be the...
I agree. It's a big letdown. I think it would be better for the mission continues. I think it would be better for the state if he stepped aside. I would tell him that. He may have a different answer if he comes on the show, but I understand those feelings, Dawn.
Yeah, it's sad. I just convey to him we're really disappointed, and not because we think he committed a crime. I think it was consensual, but, you know, we just expected so much more from him. He's a great guy, and he's had a lot of life experience, and he could tell what kind of woman he was dealing with as a hairdresser, and that he... You know, we're all weak, though. I don't want to bash him, but it's just a shame.
Yeah, but the Navy SEAL is not weak. That's something that you have
to
remember,
true.
Right?
That's so
They don't ring the bell. He did not ring the bell. But,
right.
You know, we like to think with, you've heard the statement, we think with, we don't think with the head on our shoulders. Let's put it that way, right?
Right.
Men do that. We're stupid. You know that, Dawn. I would admit that. Skip, you're on KMOX.
Gosh, Mark, where do I start? What a great show. I listen to you every day. But the day that the politicians actually fight for the people rather than with each other, Democrats and Republicans, I think we could talk about a lot more. You made a comment earlier about that if we got rid of all the politicians that cheated on their wives, there might not be any politicians left. So maybe we should start there, because maybe these new kids coming up and want to be politicians will think, well, it ruins everybody's career, so maybe I should be faithful into my marriage and change the culture instead of accepting the culture.
Yeah, I think you're right, Skip. You know, one of the biggest problems with all this is the reason that Donald Trump was elected to a certain extent, and Eric Greitens, piggytail on Trump's success, is they're sick and tired of politics as usual in the swamp. And the swamp runs deep in Jeff City, and the lobbyists control these games in both Washington and in Jefferson City. Eric Greitens comes in as an outsider. He's going to mix it up. He's going to change the way things are done. People didn't like that. But if you get Mike Parsons in there, if you get rid of Eric Greitens, and at this point he effectively is, you know, not going to be able to lead. He's sort of a lame duck. But if you do what you're about to do and impeach this governor, you won't have any change. I mean, this makes Jeff City swampier than ever before, which I think we were hoping would turn in the other direction. And some of the biggest members of the swamp, some of the people that are covered in the muck the most, like my friend Scott Faughn and others, will seemingly have no repercussions in this whatsoever. Kevin, you're on KMOX.
Yeah, in regards to that, I guess it was Victor a couple of calls ago, that way of thinking. If he really believes in that way of thinking, then isn't she and her ex-husband two-thirds responsible, and Greitens is only a third responsible? And Meatloaf says two out of three ain't bad, so I think Greitens is off the hook there on that way of mentality. I don't get what he meant by she's not responsible. She participated. She didn't, you know, push him away or not accept whatever he brought to the table. And how do we know he brought it to the table?
If for no other reason, I have to congratulate you, Kevin, for bringing a Meatloaf quote into the Mark Reardon show. I'm not sure historically that's, I'm going to cross check that, and I don't think it's ever happened. It's radio history right here. Marcia, you're on KMOX.
Well, I think it's not only Kim Gardner's fault. I don't understand why the case got so far in the courts. It seems to me that any legal person could have looked at that and saw that they did not have evidence to bring this case. And if they had dismissed it early on, there wouldn't have been that much money spent.
I think the judge felt compelled because of the nature of this alleged crime that he felt like it had to move forward. He had many opportunities, and I think he even indicated he was tempted, right, to toss this from the very beginning.
But judges should not be swayed by anything but the law. Look at the law.
Well, you can convict people on circumstantial evidence. It happens every day. But I think what you're pointing out here, Marcia, correctly, is in order to bump this to the felony charge of invasion of privacy and not the misdemeanor, you had to have not only the photo, which you didn't have, but the evidence of transmission, which you already didn't have. Had none of that right from the beginning. So she did it backwards.
I just didn't get it. I think somebody was trying to bring him down big time, and they were just determined to do it no matter how they had
Well, of course that was the case. And how anyone could deny that at this point when you have 110 or 100, I lose track of the numbers, $120,000 that was dropped off at the office of Al Watkins. You don't think that there's people behind this that are very powerful and wanted to change the dynamic in Jeff City no matter the
and
cost?
Nobody would take this case but Al Watkins.
Well, I'm going to leave it at that. We'll just stop right there on that front. It's 2:56 at KMOX, and we have much more coming up here, including John Hancock and a political story that I was actually quoted in about Josh Hawley coming up in the next hour on KMOX.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.